Five Point Church. Thank you guys so much for being here with us this morning and coming and hanging out with us, whether you're here in person or you're watching online. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for being a part of Life Point Church. And just connecting and doing life with us. It's amazing. And I can't tell you how thankful I am. I know I've said thankful like a billion times, but I appreciate you guys. But today we are continuing on with our current message series called All the Lies. And what we're doing in this series is we're identifying and discussing some of the most common lies that we find ourselves believing. Even when we know that it's a lie and that it's not truth, we end up believing it. And we operate daily in this lie, and it has so much destruction and damage that it's caused. And we need to be aware of these things. And so what we're doing, again, is we're naming the lies, we're calling them out, and then we're putting it to the test, right? Because the way that you get rid of a lie is you replace that lie with the truth. And so we have to know what the truth is. So we're going to pin that lie up against the truth and see what God has to say and what he wants for us. Because one of the things that these lies do is they rob us of what God has intended for us. That what he wants for our lives and the things that he wants us to do, the things he wants us to experience, and the joy and the peace that he gives us is being robbed by these lies. So we have to put this up against truth. And I think this is so important because, as we've said each week, we have a spiritual enemy, right? An adversary, the devil, Satan, Lucifer. He is our spiritual enemy. And he wants nothing more than to take you out, to destroy you, to make you miserable. First, he wants to keep you from connecting with Jesus. So if he can do that, that's the ultimate win for him. But if you have a relationship with Jesus, then he wants to sideline you and get you distracted and to keep you from being on mission. He wants to take you out. And one of the primary ways that he does this is by feeding you all the lies. Lie after lie after lie. And it's so destructive. This is why we read in John chapter 8, verse 44, we see it says that he, the devil, was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar. He's the father of lies. This is the verse that we keep going back to every week, and we're going to read it again next week because we need to be aware of who he is. It's what he's about. There's going to be nothing different that we can expect from him other than being the father of lies. He's trying to destroy us. One lie at a time, and that's why we have to be on our toes, right? We have to be watching out. We've got to be aware of this fact. That's why Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:8 to stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. That's how he's operating. He doesn't operate fair. He is waiting for you to be at one of your weakest moments, and then he's going to toss you this lie. And he's going to watch and enjoy as you spiral out of control. He's the father of lies. He's the deceiver. And he's prowling around like a lion, just waiting to devour you. So we've got to be on our toes. And that's why that's the purpose of this series, right? For us to look at just a few of the lies that he commonly gives us, some of his go-to lies, so that we can put it to truth and let truth and God's word destroy this lie. In the first week of this series, we talked about the lie that you're all alone, right? That we're all alone. And when we put that to scripture and we put it to truth, we found that once you're connected to God, you're never alone. Because he says he will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. Last week, we talked about a lie that I know has plagued a lot of people. It's plagued my life far too often, and I've heard from a lot of people that they really wrestle with this, and they really connected with what was said last week, but it's the lie that you need to live in fear. And we talked about how unhealthy fear is not from God. So we need to acknowledge our fear and trust Him. Trust God. Trust Him with that fear. To not buy into the lie, but say, God, here's my fear, and I'm asking you to bring healing, to remove this fear from my life so that I can see your truth. And if you missed either one of those messages, you can watch it back on Facebook or on our podcast or on our YouTube page. You can check those out, and you can get to all of those straight from our website. But today, we're continuing on, and we're going to call out another one of the enemy's lies. And this is a lie that has distracted, sidelined, and kept far too many of us from reaching our full potential. It's a lie that has kept us from being and doing and experiencing all that God has in store for us. And I've watched it time and time and time again in the lives of so many people, as well as my own. It's the lie that you're not enough. The lie that you are not enough. As I've kind of journeyed through life, I've had different roles, different responsibilities. I've worn all kinds of different hats. But I have to say that this one lie has always been present. I've always had to help people work through this lie, no matter what the circumstance was. Whether it was as a captain on a sports team in high school, or whether it be working on a school project team, right? Whether it be as a residential counselor to kids, a mentor, whether it was my role as the director of a residential facility, I'm constantly having to work with my staff and say, you know, they're struggling with, I'm not enough. I'm not good enough to do this job. I'm struggling. And I'm constantly helping them with that. It's something that I've had to help people with as a youth pastor, as a lead pastor, as a brother, as a son, as a parent, and even as a husband. I got Jen's permission to say that. But it's a lie that just resonates with all of us, because we all have this feelings of not feeling like we're enough from time to time. And again, if that's not enough, this is the lie that I've wrestled with off and on throughout my life. And I know this is, you know, you're probably tired of hearing that, but I want you to know, because I've said that like with every lie, so it just shows you that I'm a mess. But I want you to know that, because we're all in this together, right? This is a lie that I've struggled with, because I look back over my life and there were so many times that I was in this weak and vulnerable moment because of other people's expectations, or because of trying to compare myself to other people, and the enemy slipped in and said, hey, you're not enough. I think back in high school, my brother is a pretty much a genius, and he's one of the smartest dudes I know. And that caused a lot of problems for me in high school, because he's 2 years older than me, and everyone expected me to be the same. And I wasn't. I did really well in school, but I had to work really hard for it. But they compared me, and it made me feel like I wasn't enough because I didn't measure up to his standard. In college, I know I've told this story before, but I was sitting in my senior year of Bible college and had the dean of the youth ministry program in front of the whole class tell me not to send my picture in with any resumes to churches that I sent out because of my appearance. Talk about things that make you feel like you're not enough. I've always struggled with feeling like the second option, second best at everything. I've struggled with that lie. I've believed way too many times that I wasn't enough. And you want to know what it got me? It got me unnecessary stress, worry, doubt, fear, anxiety, and it's probably the key piece and the key element to my very unhealthy perfectionism. Because I'm always trying to prove that I'm enough. And it's a toxic, toxic spiral. This one lie, like I said, pretty much hits every single one of us in some way, shape, or form. And maybe it hits you, you know, more intensely than it does someone else, but we all are faced with this here in 2020, where we feel like, man, do we really measure up? Are we enough? But you see, in order to combat and reject this lie, you have to know how it plays out in your life. In order for you to know how it plays out in your life, you've got to be paying attention, right? And you've got to have people that will speak truth to you, but you also have to do some self-exploration. You've got to see how this lie plays out so that you can then fight it off when the enemy comes. Because like I said, he's going to wait for you when you're in your most vulnerable moment, when you're hurting or when you're fearful, and he's throwing all these different lies. You're alone, you should be afraid, and then he hits you with it, you're not enough. And it's becoming this recipe for disaster and complete collapse. So we have to know how this plays out, because if not, it is devastating. It's absolutely devastating, because nothing is off limits for him. He's going to attack you. He's that lion, right, prowling around, just waiting for his moment. So he'll hit you with things like, hey, you know, you're really not enough. You're not good enough. You're not smart enough to get into that program at school. You're definitely not smart enough to graduate and finish. You're not good enough to do that job. You're not experienced enough. You don't know enough. You're not. You're not prepared for that job. You're not worthy of anything good. You don't deserve good because you're not enough. You're not strong enough. You're not good looking enough. You're probably never going to have anybody because you're not enough. You're not enough as a spouse. You're not enough as a partner. You're not enough as a parent. You're not enough as an employee or an employer. You're not enough as a leader. You don't show enough kindness, enough understanding, enough love. You're financially not enough. You're just not enough any way, shape, form, from every angle. You're not enough. And I'm not 100% positive, but I would pretty sure that in that list that I just read, I think every single person could probably say at least one of those hits home, because it's a lie that we struggle with. In our lives in general, man, he loves to make us feel like we're not enough. But you see, he does the same thing in our spiritual lives. In our relationship with God, he loves to let us know that we're not enough. And it begins to create a wedge between you and God. Not because of anything that God has done, but because of you. Because you start to believe that. And then you start to avoid and sidestep God because you feel like you're just not enough. And unfortunately, I've seen it over and over again, that the church has actually, without knowing it, not meaning to, has helped perpetuate that lie in the lives of a lot of people. Hey, you're not good enough. You can't come here unless you look a certain way. You can't come here if you live this lifestyle. Hey, you don't read the Bible enough. Hey, you didn't pray enough. Hey, you've not asked for forgiveness enough. You didn't give enough. The list can go on and on and on. And the unfortunate result is that people are running from the church at alarming rates. And worse than that, people are avoiding and running from God based off of a lie from the enemy that we're not enough. I've seen it play out far too many times. And one of the biggest problems is that because of this lie, because how the church has bought into that in some points, in some areas, because you're not religious enough to be a part of their church, we get these situations like I was in this week where someone said, hey, can you call this person because their fiance is afraid to go to church because of fear of being judged. A story we hear all too often. I don't want to go to church because I'm afraid that people will judge me. It's sad And it's heartbreaking that this is what the church is known for. It's what we've become. Because that's not what we're supposed to be. We're not supposed to buy this lie. We're definitely not supposed to sell it. So people are running from the church. They don't want to come to church. And when they do, they feel as if they have to get their life completely together and in shape before they can accept Jesus as their Savior. They feel like they have to go do this, this, not do this, avoid this, and all these different things before they can connect with Jesus. And that is a lie. It is not true. He tells us to come to him just as we are. We put our faith and trust in him, and we start to follow him, and we keep our eyes fixed on him, and then he does the rest. Then he begins to change us from the inside out. But when we go on that path, that journey of trying to make ourselves worthy, to make ourselves enough before God, it's a never-ending mission that we will never achieve. And it's led to so many people leaving the church because I can't do it. Why even try? I fail constantly at it, and all they do is wag their finger at me. People don't serve in the church because they feel like they're not enough. They're not good enough to serve. They're not good enough to lead a Bible study or to even house, you know, to be a host home for a Bible study. They feel like they don't know enough to share their faith, to tell someone else about Jesus because of a lie that they're not enough. But again, in this series, we're taking these lies and we're putting it to truth. We're putting it to test. So when the enemy wants us to believe that we're not enough, what is the truth? Well, to be honest, this one's a little complicated. It's a little more complicated than some of the other ones. Because this truth is two parts. There's two parts to this truth that will destroy this lie. And the enemy's okay with you knowing the first part, or at least pieces of the first part. That's part of his lie. That's part of his scheme with this one. Is that he wants you to know a little bit of the truth, but not the whole truth. So what's the truth? And this is going to be hard for some people to hear, but it is what it is. When the enemy wants us to believe that we're not enough, the truth is that on your own, you're not enough. On your own, you are not enough. A tough pill to swallow. It's not easy. But the good news is that none of us are. It's not unique to just you. You're not enough. I'm not enough. None of us are enough. We weren't made to be enough. God didn't create us to be enough on our own. But yet we're constantly trying to. See, that's why the enemy, he's good with us knowing that first part. Because that's what he uses. It's manipulated truth. It's a lie of omission. Because he says, hey, you're not enough. Boom, end of story. None of us are enough. And Paul says this pretty clearly in Romans chapter 3, and that's where we're going to spend some time. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 9, he writes this. He says, well then, should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, not just some, all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. As Scripture says, so he's going back and he's quoting Scripture from the Old Testament. He says, no one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good, not a single one. Then he says, their talk is foul, like the stench of an open grave. That's pretty graphic, right? Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follow them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Then he says, obviously, The law applies to those whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Not a very uplifting passage of scripture, right? But it's the truth. None of us measure up to God's standard. None of us are good enough. We weren't supposed to be. He's talking about the law here, all the rules and regulations that were given out. He's saying that's not there for you to have to follow to the T and never deviate from it. And if you do, boom, it's done. He said, no, the law is there, one, to help you, to keep you safe, to keep you on the right path. But it's also there to show you that on your own, you're not enough. And that's where the enemy wants us to stop. He wants us to believe that that's the end of the story. But it doesn't end there. There's two parts to this truth. So let's go ahead and read on in Romans 3. We're going to start right where we left off at verse 21. Again, right before this, Paul was just finished basically saying that you're not enough, you can't measure up, and you can't make yourself right before God. Then he says this. He says, verse 21, but now, he said, all these things, you can't do this, you can't do this, you're never going to measure up, you're not good enough. And then he says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right without keeping the requirements of the law. Basically, he's saying he's made a way for us to be made right even when we're not enough. Verse 22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet, God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sins. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. So yes, on your own, you are not enough. But the full truth is this. On your own, you're not enough. But through Jesus, you are more than enough. You see, it doesn't have to do with us. It has to do with what God did by sending his son Jesus and the fact that Jesus died for you, taking on your guilt, your shame, your punishment. And he did that for you, knowing that you couldn't do it on your own, knowing that you would never be perfect, knowing that you would not ever fully be enough. But God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight through Jesus. And that is the greatest news that we could ever hear. This truth changes everything. It removes the pressure. It removes the lie and the trap that you're not enough. Because you can say, yeah, I'm not. But Jesus is. I'm not enough, but he is. He's more than enough, and he has made me right before God. So through him, I am enough, but not on my own. And that doesn't just translate for your spiritual life and your connection with God, but that translates to everything, because once you enter into that relationship with Jesus, and he says that you're enough, what does it matter what anyone else says? If someone says you're not enough at this in this area, you just keep following Jesus. You work hard, do the things you need to do, take care of your responsibilities. But at the end of the day, if God views us as enough, what more do we have to prove? What burden do we need to carry regarding this lie? None. Because through Jesus, we are more than enough. Not because of anything that we say or could ever do, but because of what Jesus did. Therefore, we are enough. I want to wrap this up by sharing with you two of my favorite go-to verses that have helped me tremendously when I'm feeling the pressure and when the enemy's feeding me the lie that, Andy, you're not enough. These are the two verses that I always go back to. These are the truths that I throw back in his face and say, no, I'm not buying it today. And if you've been to Life Point Church for any length of time, you've heard these verses because they mean a lot to me. But the first one is this. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And Paul writes this. He says, but he's talking about Jesus, said to me. So Jesus told him, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The power of Jesus is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, the power of Jesus is made perfect in the fact that you are not enough on your own. So anytime you start to feel like you're not enough in this area of life or this area of life or in your relationship with God, remember that his power is made perfect in your weakness. And then in Ephesians chapter 10, or chapter 2, verse 10, he says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago. You see, when you connect to God through Jesus, you are made new. Old things have passed away. All things are new. Everything is new. You are a masterpiece. And as a masterpiece, you're enough. I don't know that anyone's ever said something as a masterpiece and not meant that it wasn't enough. And when you connect with Jesus, when you give him your life, when you confess and believe, he says you are new and you are a masterpiece. You are more than enough. Again, not because of you, but because of what Jesus has done for you. So anytime the enemy hits you with that lie that you're not enough, and he's going to do it, he's going to hit you with it, stay on your toes, be ready for it, and replace that lie with the truth. Throw it right back in his face. When he's like, yo, you're not enough, throw it right back in his face and say, you know what, you're right. I'm not enough. You're not telling me anything new. But the fact of the matter is this. It's because I'm connected to Jesus. Through him, I am enough. I'm more than enough. So you can go on somewhere with all that. When you're connected to Jesus, you are more than enough. Remember that. Don't believe the lie. Through Jesus, and only because of Jesus, you are enough. Let's pray. God, we come to you this morning. We're just so thankful that one, that we can gather together, that we can worship you, that we can sing praises to you, Lord, that we can speak before you, God, and that we can hear beautiful truth from your word. We're thankful for the fact that no matter what is said or done up here, God, that you speak to our hearts and to our minds, God, and we're so thankful for that. And God, I pray this morning for each person that's here, that whatever they may be dealing with, whether it be some other lie, but if they're specifically dealing with the lie that they're not enough, God, I pray that they would connect with you in a real way. And through that, you would show them that they're enough. God, may we see ourselves the way you see us, as your masterpiece. Enough. Maybe you're here this morning as we continue in a spirit of prayer, and maybe you've never stepped over that line of faith. Maybe you've never stepped into an intimate and personal relationship with Jesus. If that's you this morning, one, let me say that again, you do not have to have your life completely in order and perfect before you enter into a relationship with Jesus. Because it's never going to happen. Even after you connect with Jesus, you're never going to be perfect. He's going to be working on us from now until the time we die. But he says, just come just as you are. All your baggage, all your mess, all your sins, all your guilt, all your shame, all your screw-ups, all your imperfections, everything. He says, just lay it at my feet. Because God sent his son to die for you, for all of those things. He took on the sin and the shame and the guilt so that you could be anew, so that you could be his masterpiece, so that you could be enough. And it's only because Jesus was enough. So if that's you and you're ready to step over that line of faith, Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. So just from your seat, from your heart, you can just call out to God and just confess and believe. Confess your sin, confess the fact that you're not perfect and that you need a Savior, and that you believe that God sent Jesus, his son, to die on the cross for your sin and then rose again victoriously. It's just confessing and believing. So you talk with God as he leads you in that. And if you want more information about that, or you have questions, you can come talk to me afterwards. Or if you're watching online, you can send us a message or a direct message, and someone from the team will get back in touch with you. But maybe you're here this morning, and you are constantly buying this lie that you're not enough, and it's sending you spiraling. It's destroying your life. You're frozen, you're crippled in that inadequacy. Constantly spiraling. If that's you, one, make sure you give your life to Jesus, because he will make you fresh and new. He'll make you enough, his masterpiece. But two, if you have that relationship with Jesus, remember that truth, that through him, you are enough. Through Jesus, you're enough. You're more than enough. And nothing you could ever say or do will take that away, because he loves you that much. It's because he was enough. So remind yourself of that. Speak that truth over that lie. And it'll give you the strength and the power to move forward. God with you. He's got your back. And he looks at you and said, yeah, I see all your mess ups. I see all your screw ups. But I also see someone that's enough because of Jesus. And he took away all of that. All of that sin. All that mess. God, again, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for dying for us. We thank you for your truth that we can claim and that we can destroy these lives with. So God, may we focus on the truth and push away the lies so that we can be and do all that you've created us to be and do. And may we, as LifePoint Church and everyone that's a part of your family, God, of your church, may we truly be on mission, telling others about you, living out the gospel message of love and grace. Give us the strength to do that, God. And may we know that you're with us as we do. In your name we pray, amen. All right, hey, LifePoint Church, thank you guys so much for once again being here with us for LifePoint Online. If you want more information about LifePoint Church, you can head to any of our social media platforms or head over to our website and leave us a message or a comment, and we'll get back with you as soon as possible. If you want more information about what it means or what it takes to have a connected relationship with Jesus, go ahead and leave a comment, and someone from our team will get back with you today. Also, if you want to continue to worship with your tithes and your offerings, or if you just want to give to LifePoint Church, head on over to our website. It's lpc502.com. In the top right-hand corner is an online giving button. You click it, and it takes you to a safe and secure place where you can give. However you choose to give, we're just thankful that you're on mission and that you're wanting to give back just a portion of what it is that God has blessed you with so that we can then continue to go take the gospel to the ends of the earth and love on as many people here in Louisville as we possibly can. Again, I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here. And we'll see you next week as we continue on with our message series, All the Lies. Love you, and we'll see you throughout the week.